open our hearts now to the scripture lesson for this Sunday morning. It also comes to us out of chapter 2 of the Gospel according to St. Luke, and we pick up the reading beginning with verse 25. This is the word of the Lord. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, and waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms, blessed God, and said, Lord, let now your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, also for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel. She was of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. She lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in at that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Thus far, the reading of our scripture for today. It has been said of this carol, Good King Wenceslas, that no song of Christmas fulfills the example of our Lord Jesus Christ as powerfully as Good King Wenceslas. Yet it is a carol of Christmas that is seldom sung. Its melody is a little bit strange and haunting. The words are a bit cumbersome because of the English, Old English, in which they were cast, but that does not in any way diminish or take away from the powerful principle that this carol brings in the midst of the season of Christmas. Now, if you hadn't looked at today's bulletin, and maybe you haven't, I don't know, you might know that on the calendar year, today is December 26th. Few of you, if any, would know what day this is on the church calendar. But since it's printed in your bulletin for today, you may have seen it. December 26th is known as the Festival of Saint Stephen. Now, one might ask the question, what in the world does the festival of St. Stephen, an ancient English carol about a king, and the season of Christmas have to do with each other? And I pray that before this message ends today, you will have a much richer and fuller understanding of that question. Essentially, this message today is about three persons or personalities, personages. Of course, one of them is one of the very first of the deacons, first of the seven deacons appointed in the church, whose name was Stephen. Also, he was the first Christian martyr to be martyred for his Christian faith. The second personage that is a part of today's message is this rather unknown king in the country of Bohemia by the name of Wenceslaus. It's not an easy name to spell, and probably for many not so easy to pronounce. But of all the kings who've ever done any kinging, the example of King Wenceslaus is one of paramount significance. And of course, the third person of our message today is the King of all kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, why St. Stephen? Well, St. Stephen was chosen, he was selected, because the church, the early church, was having some very, very serious problems. There were arguments, confrontations perhaps, over the distribution of food. It's amazing how oftentimes lodging and food can be the cause of some real discussion and maybe debate or disagreement among people. The problem wasn't the menu. The problem was the division of the food according to the groups of people. The Jewish women, widows, were complaining that the Greek or the Gentile widows were receiving more in the food line than they. Why a food line? Because the church was already under severe persecution by Jewish individuals, and therefore it was necessary that food lines be established in order to take care of the survival of individuals. So the elders of the church together and prayed, and the Holy Spirit gave them a suggestion. The suggestion was that you appoint seven individuals. And the job description of those individuals is amazing. Full of the Holy Spirit, dedicated to the Lord, and on and on and on. The list of requirements went for basically being in charge of a food distribution program, which we might think a bit overkill in our culture today. And so one of the seven that was chosen was an individual by the name of St. Stephen. Now, Stephen was also anointed by the Holy Spirit, not just to distribute food, but he became a powerful witness and teacher in the early church and caught the attention of many of the Jewish leaders who, in jealousy and rage, began to plot against his life, ultimately casting him out of the city and stoning him to death. Thus, he became the first Christian martyr. The second personage, far less known to Christian people, maybe not known at all to many, is this gentleman by the name of Wenceslaus. Now, the carol was readapted somewhat because historically, Wenceslaus was not a king. He was a ruler in Bohemia, but he only carried the title of Duke. He was the Duke of Bohemia. And as a young ruler at about 15 years of age, he first of all had to deal with an insurrection that was headed up by his mother and his twin brother, who sought to overthrow the throne and destroy his rule there in his homeland. Having executed his grandmother, who was responsible for Wenceslaus' early life and training and Christian faith, he was grieved beyond description. But the country was totally amazed when they were arrested and brought to trial, that King Wenceslaus refused to ask for their death, but rather simply required that they be exiled from the countryside. But this was only a minor clue as to the personality and the life of this amazing ruler. I want to read you some words, one paragraph out of a book that I found describing the life of Wenceslaus, and it's in a book that is entitled The Stories Behind the Best Love Songs of Christmas. And this is what the writer dug up historically about Wenceslaus. With the wisdom of Solomon, the young ruler set up a nation built on true justice and mercy. He enacted laws in the manner he thought would best serve his Lord. He even journeyed out into the country, seeking insight as to what his people needed. When possible, he shared everything from firewood to meat with his subjects. He took pity on the poor and urged those blessed with wealth to reach out to the less fortunate, in large part due to Wenceslaus's personal example. A host of pagan peasants turned to Christianity. It was truly a revival unlike any that had ever been seen in that country. And so here's this young ruler whose life has been touched and encompassed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who exemplifies the ministry of Jesus, not only by his fair and just rulership, but by his unprecedented care and love and ministry to the needy. I know that Janet had no idea when she shared that scripture today from Philippians chapter 2 about the Lord Jesus emptying himself and submitting to the life that ultimately led to his death, that there would be a comparison between Stephen Wenceslaus and the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question might be, why is December 26th, seems like a kind of an unusual date to celebrate an event that is not really that well known in much of history? Well, the answer is, going way back in church history, that the church fathers who planned the entire church calendar for the year chose three festivals to immediately follow Christmas. Today, 26th, is the festival of St. Stephen. The 27th is the festival of the Holy Innocents. And the 28th is the festival of John the Baptist. Do you see the line, the thread of similarity in those three festivals? All of them suffered martyrdom and death because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming. It seems kind of strange, doesn't it, that when the world is so filled with the joy and the beauty and the majesty and the hope, a message of Christmas, that there would be these three festivals so closely gathered together. But when you consider the message of Billy Graham, a fabulous message that he gave many, many, many years ago, entitled The Crib, the Cross, and the Crown. The Crib, the Cross, and the Crown. That message of Billy Graham speaks about the fact that the crib, where the baby Jesus, the infant king, was laid, was overshadowed by the cross, because his coming would be a dividing line between those who would receive Christ and those who would not. But it's also a time of remembering the powerful example of two individuals who, in a very real way, outside of their martyrdom, exemplified the life of Christ in the example of giving, serving, and seeing to the needs of others. Isn't that a powerful message for the season of Christmas? Serving, meeting the needs of others. And as I read through the text several times this week of King Wenceslaus, I want to point out to you several comparisons. Of course, first of all, this carol remembers the festival day of St. Stephen, first Christian martyr. It speaks about how cold and cruel was the frosty night, and then suddenly there comes into the picture a poor man out on such a night. What was he doing? He was seeking to gather fuel. Well, obviously Wenceslaus was out there and he saw this. What was he doing out there? Well, he was tending to visiting, we are told, the homes of people in his realm, which he did every Christmas Eve, to wish them well, to see about their needs, and to provide what could be provided for them. And he inquired about this poor man who was there walking and understood that he was homeless. He lived against a forest fence, not a very comfortable bed, sleeping in the winter against a forest fence by St. Agnes's fountain. Instantly, and if you're hearing this professionally sung, instantly the music changes to a dramatic, bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs thither, thou and I will see him dying. So once again, and this is a historical fact, that Wenceslaus went about every Christmas Eve looking after the needs of the people in his realm. Now, this happened in the 800s, predating Santa Claus, Saint Nick, or any of that sort of stuff. This is real, real history. History of a life touched by the Lord Jesus Christ and was reaching out to serve others. Furthermore, as we read on with the text, through the bitter weather, the servant of the Duke cried out, "Sir, the night is darker now." We talk here in this church often about the darkness that is engulfing our world today. The wind blows stronger. My heart faints. I know not how I can go on longer. So many people this year have expressed to family and loved ones, pastors and others, that they just don't feel they can go on any longer. Kind of like I've heard a couple people say to me, "I'm just about at the end of my ropes." That cry was heard, of course, by the Duke, Wenceslaus himself. And then he makes this amazing command. "Mark my footsteps, my good page, and tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage freeze thy blood less coldly." Now, except for the awkwardness of how that English comes together, what did the Duke say to his servant? What Jesus says to all of us: you follow in my footsteps. And when you follow in the footsteps of Jesus, not just the weather, but the wiles of the devil, the persecutions, the pain, whatever suffering, will seem far, far, far less when we are in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. "So in his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay dinted." And this was an interesting phrase. Heat was in the very sod which the saint had printed. Now we come to the point, to the conclusion, which is why I wanted so much to have this message brought to you today. Therefore, Christian, says men, I'll say people. Therefore, Christian people, be sure wealth or rank possessing. Because in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, wealth and rank have no place, no part, no meaning. Wealth or rank possessing. Ye who now will bless the poor shall yourselves find blessing. There I discover we find a powerful illustration of why the early church chose to have the festival of St. Stephen on the 26th of December, so that the example of Stephen, the example 800 years later of King Wenceslas, could be for us to see and to hear and perhaps to grasp and understand the essential message of Jesus is to serve him, and to serve him by serving others. Therefore, when the announcement is made here of a man of food distribution or the gifts that are sent to the children at Christmas time or other outreaches from this congregation, I believe we are fulfilling a part of the call upon this congregation to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It was about 14 years ago when we had another Sunday, December 26th, that I brought probably a message similar to this. I remember we celebrated the festival of St. Stephen. But in those 14 years, it seems perhaps the Lord has grown us a little farther, shown us a greater understanding, given us a greater passion and desire to truly serve the Lord Jesus Christ, follow in his footsteps, and be ambassadors for his love. Let us pray. Holy Father, we are so privileged to hear these wonderful historical. These are not fairy tales. These are not once upon a times. These are historical facts about individuals who chose to serve and follow the Lord Jesus. Saint Stephen, whose life was taken from him because of his witness. King Wenceslas, who was murdered by his mother and his stepbrother. And on the list of those who have given their lives. But in the serving of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, have reached out with whatever gifts, whatever opportunities have been given to them to be faithful servants. Bless, O Lord, this congregation. As we enter into this new year, increase, O God, our passion to reach out to others, whether they be missionaries in other countries or homeless people in our own community or neighbors who come for food twice a month or whatever you show us. Let our hearts overflow with such gratitude that we will joyfully reach out and serve others. We ask this today in Jesus' name. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the precious Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Lord's people said, Amen. Amen.